Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Lisa Delpit's Multiplication is for White People, Raising Expectations for Other People's Children is a work of educational criticism and reform analysis focused on the Black and White achievement gap in American public schools. Published by the New Press, the book extends concerns from Delpit's earlier work on race, language, culture, and classroom power. Its central purpose is to challenge explanations that locate school failure in Black children, their families, or their communities. Instead, Delpit argues that schools often reproduce inequality through low expectations, culturally disconnected instruction, deficit assumptions, and reform policies that emphasize measurement without creating intellectually rich learning environments. The book combines research-informed argument, classroom observation, historical reflection, and practical guidance for educators. Delpit writes especially for teachers, administrators, teacher educators, and policymakers who want to understand why decades of reform have not produced equitable outcomes and how classrooms can recognize the brilliance of African-American students while demanding rigorous academic growth. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, low expectations as a central cause of the achievement gap. Delpit places teacher expectation at the center of her explanation for persistent racial disparities in schooling. Her argument does not deny material inequality, school segregation, or resource gaps, but it emphasizes that daily classroom assumptions can convert social bias into academic limitation. When educators unconsciously expect less from African-American students, they may assign easier work, accept weaker performance, overcorrect behavior while underteaching content, or interpret cultural difference as lack of ability. The title points to a child absorbing the idea that advanced mathematics belongs to white children, which illustrates how institutional messages become personal academic identity. Delpit argues that there is no achievement gap at birth, so explanations must focus on what happens during schooling. Low expectations are damaging because they appear caring or realistic while quietly restricting access to complex knowledge. A student who is not invited into demanding intellectual work receives fewer opportunities to build fluency, confidence, and ambition. The book, therefore, reframes equity as more than kindness or inclusion. Equity requires adults to believe that Black children can handle advanced content and to organize instruction so that belief becomes visible through assignments, feedback, pacing, and support. Secondly, culturally grounded teaching as an alternative to deficit views. A major contribution of the book is its insistence that effective teaching begins by recognizing the cultural knowledge students bring from home and community. Delpit challenges the idea that African-American students must be treated as lacking the habits, language, or values needed for academic success. Instead, she argues that schools often fail because curricula and classroom norms are built around middle-class white experiences and then presented as neutral. When students do not see their histories, speech patterns, communities, or intellectual traditions respected, school can feel unrelated to their lives. Delpit does not advocate lowering standards or replacing academic content with cultural affirmation alone. Her position is that cultural recognition is a route into rigor because it gives students a meaningful foundation from which to engage demanding work. Teachers need to learn communities rather than merely manage classrooms. This means listening to families, understanding local strengths, and designing instruction that connects academic concepts to lived experience without stereotyping students. The book, therefore, links cultural responsiveness with intellectual seriousness. It argues that students are more likely to persist through difficulty when school acknowledges their identities and shows that people who look like them have produced knowledge, creativity, and social transformation. Thirdly, critique of reform policies that measure failure without changing instruction. Delpit examines major education reform movements of the late 20th and early 21st centuries and argues that many have not addressed the deeper causes of inequity. Policies such as standardized testing, No Child Left Behind, alternative certification programs, and some charter school initiatives are treated skeptically because they often define achievement narrowly and focus on accountability rather than the quality of intellectual life. In classrooms, testing can reveal gaps, but Delpit argues that repeated measurement does not itself create powerful teaching. In schools serving poor children of color, test pressure may even narrow the curriculum, reduce creativity, and encourage basic skills drills rather than advanced reasoning. Her critique of fast-track teacher preparation is related to community knowledge. Teachers who enter unfamiliar communities briefly may be energetic, but still lack the cultural, historical, and relational understanding needed to teach well. Delpit does not reject reform because change is unnecessary. She rejects reforms that bypass the relational and pedagogical work required to help students thrive. The book asks whether reforms raise expectations, deepen instruction, and build respect for students. If they do not, they may reproduce the very inequality they claim to solve. Fourthly, warm demander pedagogy as a balance of care, structure, and rigor. The book is often associated with the idea of the warm demander, a teacher who combines deep care with uncompromising academic expectations. This concept matters because Delpit rejects two common but inadequate responses to educational inequity. One response is rigid control that treats students as problems to be managed. The other is sympathetic leniency that avoids difficult demands out of fear of harming students who already face hardship. Delpit argues that both approaches can fail African American children. A warm demander communicates belief through challenge, structure, explicit teaching, and persistence. Such a teacher does not merely announce high standards, but helps students reach them by making expectations clear, explaining unfamiliar academic codes, and providing enough support for productive struggle. The warmth is not sentimental, it is relational credibility built through respect, consistency, and knowledge of students. The demanding element is not punishment. It is the refusal to let students be excluded from advanced learning. This framework is practical because it translates equity into teacher behavior. It asks educators to examine whether their classroom routines, feedback, and assignments actually convey the message that every student is capable of difficult intellectual work. Lastly, historical memory and community engagement as resources for school change. Delpit connects present school failures to broader historical and political conditions, making the book more than a set of classroom techniques. She draws attention to traditions such as civil rights-era freedom schools, which treated Black children as thinkers, citizens, and agents rather than as deficient learners. This historical comparison shows that rigorous, culturally affirming education is not a recent invention but part of a longer struggle for educational self-determination. The book also emphasizes that schools cannot improve by blaming Black parents or assuming families are disengaged. Delpit argues that educators need authentic dialogue with families and communities, not occasional outreach shaped by institutional suspicion. Community engagement matters because it gives teachers access to student strengths, local histories, and forms of knowledge that formal curricula often ignore. It also challenges the isolation of teachers, who may otherwise interpret student behavior through their own cultural assumptions. By placing classrooms inside a larger social context, Delpit shows why individual goodwill is insufficient. Teachers need preparation, time, and institutional support to understand the communities they serve. School change becomes a shared process of raising expectations while rebuilding trust between educators, students, and families. In conclusion, multiplication is, for white people, is especially useful for classroom teachers, school leaders, teacher educators, education students, and policymakers concerned with racial equity in public education. Readers who want a purely technical manual may find it broader than a methods guide, but its practical value lies in the way it connects belief, pedagogy, policy, and community relationship. The book helps educators examine how apparently ordinary decisions about curriculum, discipline, assessment, and feedback can either open or close access to advanced learning. Intellectually, it offers a clear challenge to deficit explanations of the Black and white achievement gap by insisting that African American children must be understood as capable, culturally rich, and already intellectually significant. Compared with many books on school reform, Delpit's work stands out because it does not treat accountability systems, cultural relevance, or teacher expectations as separate issues. It joins them into one argument about power in classrooms. Compared with general multicultural education texts, it is more direct about race and the specific schooling experiences of African American students. Compared with policy-driven reform books, it remains close to the lived realities of teachers, students, and families. Its lasting strength is the insistence that rigor and respect are inseparable. If you would like to support Lisa Delpit, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.